Well, good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day the Lord has given to us. And so it is so nice today, so nice out, that Janice and I this morning, we said, let's do something outside today because we don't know how many days like this we're going to have left. So we decided this morning we're going to do a hike this afternoon at Table Rock, Upper Table Rock at 3 o'clock. And then we just kind of said, should we invite anybody? And then as we were talking, we said, let's invite everybody. So you're invited to join, all of you, you're invited to join Janice and I for a hike today. 3 o'clock, Table Rock, the Upper Table Rock. We'll meet in the parking lot, and let's just go for it, all right? Bring a bottle of water if you want. Bring some snacks for me, and we're going to have a great time. Yes. Well, today is it's Veterans Day weekend, and here at Bethel Church, we always love showing honor to our veterans. Now, this year, we're doing it a little different because of some scheduling things. Next week, we're doing a very special honoring of our veterans. In fact, we're going to have gifts for every veteran next week. So invite someone you know that's a veteran because they're going to be so blessed. But we don't have to wait till next week to honor our veterans. So this morning, I do want to do that. If you're a veteran this morning, we appreciate you. We're thankful for you. And we just want to say, as a church family, thank you for your service. So if you're a veteran this morning, would you please just stand to your feet and let us say thank you to you, all right? All of our veterans, please stand up, all right? Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as I said, next Sunday, we're going to make a big deal about all of our veterans. Well, Thanksgiving is coming up in just a few weeks. Great time to give thanks to the Lord. Unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people that they'll celebrate the day of Thanksgiving, but they'll miss the real purpose of it. For a lot of people, Thanksgiving is about football and food, right? And because if you don't acknowledge the reality of God and you don't believe in the goodness of God and that God is our provider, you really don't know who you're thanking. But as Christians, this is our opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, because I believe in you. I believe you created everything, and I believe you're my provider. And so we give thanks to the Lord. And so for a Christian, Thanksgiving is not a day, it's a lifestyle. Right? Like every day is Thanksgiving for us because God has been so good to us. In the last few weeks, we've been exploring the first three chapters of Genesis, and we've been doing this series called Foundations. And the foundation that we're going to be talking about today is that God is our provider. That the Bible reveals that God is real, that he is a creator, and that he is the one that provides for us, that he blesses his people. And so kind of the roadmap this morning is we're going to look at three passages of Scripture beginning in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at two from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, three passages of Scripture that that describe God being our provider. And then we're going to talk about what that means. What are the implications? If we really believe that God is our provider, how does that change how we live our lives? Okay, so let's open up God's word together. Genesis chapter 1, and then we're going to be in Deuteronomy 11, and then Matthew chapter 6 in the Gospels. So starting right here, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you, everybody say give. This is God saying, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. To all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. All right? So pause right here. Were Adam and Eve blessed or cursed? They were blessed, right? Did God provide everything they needed? Did they have to worry about where their next meal was coming from? No. God, from the very beginning, was their provider. Now, we know later on, Adam and Eve rebelled against God's command, and they were removed from the Garden of Eden, and they were going to have to work very hard to make a living. But I want you to see that it is God's intention to provide for Adam and Eve, all right? All right, turn right in your Bible and turn over a few books to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. And what's happening here is the people of Israel are getting ready. They're preparing to enter the promised land, okay? Now, for this previous 40 years, they've been living out in the wilderness, and God's provided food for them every single day in the form of manna. So God's been feeding them, providing. But when they get into the promised land, the manna is going to stop. And they're going to have to go back to work as farmers, okay? Now, their forefathers had lived in the land of Egypt, all right? And in Egypt, even though they were servants there, they didn't have to worry so much about rain on the land because of the Nile River, all right? The Nile River and all of the irrigation, the Egyptians just created this incredible irrigation system. And so whether it rained or not, there was always water. There was always water for the crops because of this irrigation system, right? And so what God is telling them now as they enter into the promised land is there's no Nile River, there's no irrigation system. They're going to have to trust that God's going to provide rain for their crops, okay? So here we go, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing, the Jordan, takes you to the possession of this land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. Okay, so you see that? No more irrigation from the Nile River. Okay? The way your crops are going to be watered is by rain, and God is saying, I am the one that's going to make sure it rains. Okay? So ultimately, even though they were going to work, God was going to be their provider. All right? Moving ahead to verse 13. So, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass for the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Okay, so who was going to provide? God was. Was it God's will to bless or curse the Israelites? To bless them? Was God concerned for his people? Did God have his eye upon them? Absolutely. Okay, now, what does that have to do with us? So we're going to bring this now into the Gospels, into what Jesus has to say to us, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Okay, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Poke your neighbor and say, you're more valuable than a bird. Yes. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Right? You can probably take some hours off your life by worrying, but you're certainly not going to add any hours to your life by worrying. And why do you worry about clothes? See, the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry. There it is again. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry. There it is again. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay, well, that's not super encouraging, but it is, Jesus is reminding us there that it really does not help to live a life of worry, that we should live a life of trust, believing that God is for his people, that God is good, and that he is our provider. So this morning, as we're talking about God being our provider, it all starts with our understanding that God is good. God is good. Everybody say, God is good. God is good. And specifically this morning, as it relates to God's commitment to provide for us. Money can be a stressful thing. Are we earning enough? Do we have enough saved? Making wise spending decisions. Money can be stressful on relationships. Can be a difficult topic in a marriage, right? There are a lot of temptations that come along with money. There's the temptation of greed. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, right? And by the way, you don't have to be rich to be greedy. A lot of people don't have a lot of wealth and they're still greedy. Okay? So there's temptations that come along with money. Maybe this morning you're in a place where you're comfortable financially and you're not stressed about your finances. But the challenge that you face is, what am I doing with what God has provided for me? Am I being stretched? I think a lot of Christians think that the goal in life is get to a point where you don't have to depend on God anymore. But the Bible says this. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to be in a place where our faith actually gets stretched. And for the Christian, our entire life should be a life of faith. Amen? Should be a faith walk, trusting in the Lord, trusting that God is our provider. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, the thief, that's the devil, comes to steal and kill and destroy, but he says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, have an abundance of life. So the devil wants to rob you. He wants to rip you off. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your confidence. But Jesus has come to restore back to us everything that the enemy has stolen, right? Now, listen, I'm not saying that if you obey the Lord, as Pastor Roger said earlier, if you obey the Lord when it comes to finances, God's going to make you rich, all right? We don't practice, you know, around here, you know, at Bethel Church, we don't practice positive confession or, you know, that we're all going to be wealthy. I don't believe that's a biblical concept, but I do believe this, that God doesn't also want us to be poor. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to provide for us. Amen? And remember this. A lot of times we think we're poor when compared to the rest of the world, we really have a lot, right? We're really blessed. We're blessed in so many ways. And God is our provider. He's our provider. And so much of what we believe about all this all comes back to our view of God. Our view of God. A.W. Tozer once wrote this, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, wow, that is a bold statement. But I don't believe it's an overstatement. Specifically, when it comes to this area of God being our provider, if our view of God, our picture of God, is that he's angry, stingy, unfeeling, uncaring, disinterested, uninvolved. If that's our view of God, then it's very likely that our lives are going to be filled with worry, stress, anxiety, and fear, right? But if as God's children we believe that we serve a good, good Father, then our lives are going to be filled with confidence and trust and rest and peace. And then I think a lot of Christians make the mistake of thinking that we're not going to be blessed until we get to heaven, right? We've all seen the bumper sticker that says life is hard and then you die, okay? And unfortunately, I think a lot of Christians kind of think that. Now, thank God, there's going to be a lot of blessings in heaven. And that should be where our heart is, amen? God has so much for us, but I've got good news for you today. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience the blessings of God. God wants to bless us now, now. David wrote in Psalm 27:13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right? David is saying, I'm looking forward to heaven, but I also know I don't have to wait until I go to heaven to experience the goodness of God. I experience the goodness of God right now. Okay? Now, I want us to read this verse out loud together, okay, beginning with a reference. Psalm 27, everybody together? Psalm 27:13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Okay, so if we really believe that God is our provider, okay, how does that change anything? What difference does it make, all right? So I've got a whole list here of implications, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on each one of these. They're all important. Here's the implications of really believing that God is our provider, okay? Implication number one is contentment, contentment. That when we really believe God is our provider, then rather than looking so much at what everybody else has, looking at my neighbor's new truck and, you know, we're going to learn to be content with what God has provided for us, okay? Now, perhaps you, I got to say, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying I was blessed by this. Janice and I were blessed with three children that didn't complain a whole lot, I'll be honest with you. They just didn't. They were pretty content kids, all right? But just imagine, and some of you don't have to imagine, but just imagine that you have a child that's just always wanting more, right? Like nothing you provide seems to be enough. You're doing your best as a parent, but they always want more, 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 all right? So imagine the patience that God has for his children when we're always wanting more, right? We're always, instead of being content and joyful about what he's provided, we're always complaining, we're always wanting more. Okay? But the Bible teaches us to be content with God's provision. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Hallelujah. So learning to be content, if we really believe that God is the one providing for us, it puts contentment in our hearts, okay? Another implication of this whole idea, God is my provider, is it changes our perspective, on life, okay? So either our perspective on life, either we're going to have a worldly perspective and we're going to think like the rest of the world, or we're going to have a kingdom perspective, which Jesus taught. Either we're going to have a temporal perspective and not think about eternity, or we're going to have a spiritual perspective. We're going to think beyond the here and now. Okay? Either we're going to have a natural perspective, or we're going to have a spiritual perspective, an eternal perspective. So Jesus always taught us to think beyond, see beyond with our spiritual eyes what we're seeing in this world. And so one of the things that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when we understand that God is our provider, that changes our entire perspective on life. We start to get the big picture perspective, a kingdom of God perspective. Okay. So another thing on our list this morning, God is my provider. It implies this, that we will also be able to rest. We'll be able to rest. See, if we live life thinking it all depends on us, we're going to work all the time, right? We're going to work and save all the time. But if we really believe that God is our provider, it frees us up to obey the Sabbath principle. The Sabbath principle that it's okay to work 6 days, but you need to rest. Your body needs to rest. Your mind needs to rest. Your spirit needs to rest. Your heart needs to rest, right? And so that rest, that requires me saying, okay, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust I don't have to work all the time. Now listen, the Bible commends being a hard worker, but the Bible also commands rest, right? Rest. Sabbath principle. Now think about this. The Israelites, when they were entering the promised land, not only did God tell them they were to rest one day a week, one Sabbath day a week, but every 7 years, they were to not plant crops for the entire year. The whole land had to rest for an entire year. Now, imagine the faith that took, right? I mean, they had to really trust, okay, we're not going to plant crops this year. We're going to trust that God's going to provide for us because God in his wisdom knew the land needed a rest too, right? And so it gives us rest. We rest in the Lord knowing that he's going to provide. Another implication of God being our provider is priority. Where are my priorities? Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. And by all these things, Jesus was talking about food and clothing and shelter. Jesus is saying, look, God's going to take care of all that. All right? Your job is to put God first. Put the kingdom of God first and God will take care of the rest. So we want to have a kingdom of God first approach to life. Okay. Next, if God is my provider, then I can live with integrity. Integrity. It's tempting when it comes to finances to cut corners, to not be completely honest, right? To compromise. But if we really trust that God is our provider, it frees us up to live a life of integrity that says, I don't have to cheat, I don't have to steal, I don't have to rip anybody off because God's going to provide for me. Amen? Yeah. God is my provider. So Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1 says this, the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him, all right? So this is talking about integrity in the marketplace, all right? That God detests that lack of integrity, and that as we're being faithful to God, we're being people of integrity, God is going to be our provider, all right? So I just want to challenge us all. Man, we don't have to try to meet our needs by ripping anybody else off, amen? We can trust that God is going to be our provider as we're being faithful to him. And then another implication, Pastor Roger already mentioned this one, is the tithe. The tithe. When I trust that God is my provider, I can step out in faith, right, with the giving of the tithe. When I refuse to tithe, I am taking the position that I am my own provider and that everything I gain belongs to me. When I tithe, I am acknowledging that all I have comes from God, and I am a steward of his provision. Okay? So never forget, church, it all belongs to God. Amen? We take care of what God has provided. It all, though, belongs to the Lord. And when we start seeing ourselves as owners, all right, then we won't tithe, we get stingy, we get closed. But knowing that the Lord is providing for us, it frees us up, beginning with the tithe. And when we're faithful to the Lord in that area, God is always, always faithful to us. Okay? And then associated with the tithe, but not exactly the tithe, is generosity. Generosity. You're saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm already being generous when I tithe. Not really. Not really. Because when we tithe, we're just giving back to God what already belongs to him. All right? So it'd be like, what is your name? I don't know you, my brother.
Joey.
Hi, Joey. All right. It would be like if I, thanks for volunteering to be my example this morning. It would be like if Joey loaned me his truck, all right? If Joey loaned me his truck, and I use it, I have trash to take to the transfer station and got a few things to do. I got to go get some bark. And then I bring Joey's truck back to him, and I say, Joey, I've got a gift for you. Here's your truck. Have I been generous? Not in the slightest. Joey's the one that's been generous to me. I've just brought back to him what belongs to him. Right? So I'm not waiting for a thank you note from Joey. Right? So when we tithe, we haven't been generous. We've just brought back to God what already belongs to him. Come on, there should be a good amen right there. Come on. Yeah, yeah. And so we're not generous, actually. The generosity thing kicks in after the tithe, right? And so 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says this, God is able to bless you abundantly. Oh, man. God is able to bless you abundantly so that you'll get rich and be able to spend it all on yourself. No. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that what? So that you can be generous. On every occasion and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So God provides for us so we can be generous, so that God can provide even more so we can even be more generous. All right? That's the cycle of God's blessing. It is. So generosity. And then finally, this is the last one, another implication of really believing that God is our provider, is trusting God for miracles. Trusting God for miracles. You know, the Bible is full of story after story after story of people whose life was just against the wall. Just their everything was just at stake, and they were at the end of their rope. And they discovered that God could be trusted, and God would provide for them. And God provided in so many miraculous ways in the Bible. And I believe that Jesus Christ, I hope you believe this too, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? That the same God that provided for people in Bible times provides for his people today. Right? And so if you're here this morning and you need a miracle, I'm here to tell you, God is real and he's going to provide. And we're going to pray this morning for a release of faith in your life, a release of God's provision in your life, because God is a God who does miracles, and we're going to exercise faith today that God is going to provide. When we combine faith with obedience, we position ourselves for a miracle. look, I can't make a miracle happen, but I know someone who can. Amen? God can. You can't make a miracle happen, but you can position yourself for a miracle. And you position yourself for a miracle by continuing to be obedient to the Lord no matter how things look, and continuing to trust God. And when you combine that faith and trust with obedience, you position yourself for a miracle. And I can honestly say God has done so many miracles in my life over the years. God has provided in so many ways. I have no problem at all believing that God is going to do the same for you. Nothing special about me. Nothing special about me. God has provided for me because I'm his child. Listen. When a couple adopts a child, which is a beautiful thing, they volunteer to take parental responsibility for that child, right? You don't adopt a child and say, well, good luck, kid. You adopt a child so that you can care for that child and nurture that child. And I want you to know, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, he adopted you into his family. He adopted you. That's what the Bible says. And when God adopted you, he voluntarily took parental responsibility for your life. You're his son now. You're his daughter now. And he's going to look out for you. He's going to be your provider and your protector. That's because he is a good, good father. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you didn't have the joy of having a good father. I want you to know the Bible says not only is God a good father, Jesus said he's the perfect father. So imagine the most perfect of all dads. I mean, this is the dad that shows up for every ball game, right? The perfect provider, the perfect encourager and blesser of it, the most perfect dad you can imagine. That's what God is, only better, right? He is a good, good father, and he provides for the needs of his children. We just have to act on the promises of God. Pastor Bill Johnson writes this: the invasion of God into impossible situations comes through people who have received power from on high and have learned to release it into the circumstances of life. Okay? So God gives us that power, he gives us that faith, and then it's our job now to enact that and say, I'm going to act on the promises of God. And I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God in this situation. And so we're going to pray today. We're going to pray today for God's provision. We're going to pray today for miracles, for those of you who need a miracle. If you're here today and you're looking for a job and you haven't been able to find a job, we're going to pray that God opens the right door for you. God's going to provide that job for you. If you're here today and you've come up against some crisis, because that happens sometimes in life, you can be just floating along, can't we? We can be floating along and everything's rosy financially, and then all of a sudden a medical situation arrives. There's a business failure, something happens, and all that we saved up is gone, all right? That's a reality of life sometimes. If that's you today, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God to be your provider in this difficult time in your life. We're going to enact the promises of God today. And by the way, I didn't make this stuff up today. That's why I gave you a lot of scriptures. I didn't make any of this up. This is all found in God's word. And God is faithful to his word. God keeps his promises. All right? So we're going to close with one last great promise. We're going to make this the foundation of our prayer today. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 19. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Wow. Now, I don't know that I know everything about the riches of God's glory, but I think it's probably pretty good. Right? I don't think God lacks for anything. Right? The riches of his glory are pretty, they're mind-boggling, they're amazing. We can't even get our brains around how great the provision of God is, the resources of God. All right? So we're going to trust today. If the devil's been lying to you, and convinced you that God has forgotten you, I want you to know nothing could be further from the truth. God is your provider. God is your provider. This morning, Jamie and Kieran Sterling are here, missionaries to Zambia. And you guys have lived a life of faith, and you know exactly what I'm talking about today, don't you? Yeah. And could you just welcome Jamie and Kieran this morning? It's great to see them. These guys down here in the front, the Noble family here, planting a church in White City, Hope City Church. It takes a little faith, right? It's a big step of faith. But God is in it, and God's going to provide. We had such an amazing work day yesterday. It was amazing. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I couldn't be more proud of how many of you came out and worked at that church building yesterday. It was so exciting and fun. And God is providing. And he's going to continue to provide. Steve and Terry Moore, are you guys here this morning? Steve and Terry? Steve and Terry, members of our church, they run a ministry to homeless people down at Hawthorne Park. They're down there at that park every Saturday, feeding about 100 people. And week to week, they actually don't know where the food's coming from the next week. And every week, God provides so that they can feed people and share Jesus. And I know he's used some of you to be that provision. But this is how God is. God is our provider. God is our provider. And so this morning, we're going to believe and we're going to trust God for provision in your life. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? And I feel like I should say this. The most important provision in your life is not a financial provision. It's a spiritual one. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You can't save yourself. You can't forgive your own sins. You can't pay for your own sins. None of us can. You'll never be saved by your own good deeds. Salvation is a gift from God. He is the one that provides it. So if you're here this morning and you've not yet received the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of all is not financial provision, it's spiritual provision. That Jesus came to save us. So if you're here today and you've not given your life to Jesus, or you've given your life to Jesus but you're not walking with the Lord, and you need to come back to God. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. Before we pray this next prayer, I want to pray with you. And this is actually the most important prayer. If you're here today and you want to pray to receive Christ into your life, I want to pray with you this morning. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you want to be included in this prayer, to invite Christ into your life and receive God's provision of salvation, I want you to raise your hand when I get to three. One, two, three. Today you want to receive Christ. God bless you. Yeah. Others today. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. So I want to pray with you right now, sister. Pray this prayer along with me in church. Would you pray? Would you pray with this one that's raised their hand this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for coming into this world and dying on a cross for my sins. Lord, today I ask for your forgiveness. I put my trust in you. Lord, come into my heart right now. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. It's the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. Now, if you need a financial miracle, we're going to believe God for that as well. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. So we're going to take Jesus at his word today. If you need financial provision, you need a miracle in your life, would you raise your hand this morning? Just hold it up. Just say, I'm up against something. I need God's provision. Hold it up high and leave it up because I'm going to ask people to come and stand with you in faith and pray with you this morning. All right, church, go find someone who has their hand up. Come alongside them, okay? We're going to pray for each other today. We're going to pray for a release of faith and provision. I want to make sure everybody that has a hand up has someone to pray with them. I don't want anybody alone, okay? Thank you. Thank you, church, for responding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay? Does everybody that has a hand up have someone to pray with them? Okay? I would hate to miss anybody that's asking for prayer. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's pray, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. God, that you are our provider, Lord, and we want to stand in faith today, God, for those who've raised their hand, they're just saying, I'm up against it, I'm struggling financially, I need a miracle. God, in the name of Jesus, we want to pray today for a release, God, of faith, a release today of provision over their life, God. Lord, we acknowledge today that your word says that our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ. And so today we stand on the promises of your word and we declare that all of your promises are yes and amen in Christ, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good, good father, that you provide for your children. God, that you're an attentive father, that you're a caring father. And God, we put our trust in you today, and we pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for a release of provision. I pray, God, for those that are seeking employment, something's happened at work, I pray, oh God, that you will provide, God, that right job for them, that you will close the doors that aren't from you and open the doors that are from you, and God, that you will provide in Jesus' name. God, for those who've been through a crisis, Lord, we thank you, God, that in the midst of the crisis, even though when we feel sometimes like maybe you're not there or we've been forgotten, we know, God, and we stand on your word that nothing could be further from the truth, that you will never leave us or forsake us. And God, that you are with those that are broken and hurting today. So in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, for comfort, but we also pray for provision, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord this morning. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now, I'm going to ask this morning, let's put that verse right there. Let's leave it up there. We're going to read this out loud together as a confession of faith in God's word, God's promises. Only where it says all your needs, we're going to say my needs. Okay? So just insert yourself into this verse. Okay? Here we go. Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Not everybody played my game there. Let's read it out loud together. I'm not letting you go until you do it, so you might as well jump in right now. Okay, Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.